Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, that is the new theme music to Sparty Talk. Satchmo here. On a Tuesday, no, is it Tuesday? Tuesday afternoon that we're doing this. How about that? Tuesday afternoon, the Tuesday after Michigan State beat Penn State. Can you believe it? I mean, to a certain degree, I can't believe it. Was at the alumni bar, the Capitol Lounge, checking out the action. Had a little business meeting there, followed by the game. It was a lot of fun watching with a group of Spartans that were just going crazy. Did not expect Michigan State to beat Penn State 21-17. I've got to admit, I am still in shock. And what a way to lead up to Michigan Week. DB joining us as he does for each and every podcast. Greetings, DB.
Greetings and salutations, Spartan Nation.
Yeah. On a scale of 1 to 10, DB, how shocked were you at Saturday's Michigan State 21-17 victory over Penn State?
A plus 10.
Oh, a plus 10, yes, indeed. Yes, I was fully prepared for Michigan State to lose by 3-plus touchdowns. And I was fully prepared to call up my brother and say, congratulations, you guys beat the living daylights out of us. Satchmo's brother, Penn State Nittany Lion, graduated from there several years back. That didn't happen. Michigan State had other plans despite no L.J. Scott, despite no Darrell Stewart, despite no Cody White, despite no Kevin Jarvis and, you know, missing offensive linemen, despite a missing defensive back. And despite losing wide receivers in the middle of the game, Cam Chambers doing something to his hand and thumb. DB, look, Michigan State's had some improbable victories. This ranks pretty high up there on the list.
Yeah. The injury situation is incredible. And you talk about going into that game against Penn State. 42 was the number in my head, and that was how many points Penn State was going to win by.
Yeah. Look, even if you thought the Michigan State defense was going to stand on its head, you figured it was going to give up anywhere between 28 to 35 points just because the Michigan State offense was going to be able to move the football.
Right.
That was a reasonable assumption. The Michigan State offense would not be able to move the football. The Michigan State defense would wear down eventually. Penn State, with an explosive offense, would put up 28 to 35 points. Michigan State would put up 3 to 6 points because no offensive line, no running back, injured wide receivers. How are they going to score? And Michigan State found a way. So, all right, so let's start off with the way Michigan State found. They changed their blocking scheme. They went from a power man-on-man blocking scheme to a zone blocking scheme. Block in space, get in the way of somebody, and let the running backs figure it out. That seemed to work. So you had a little bit of that. You got a little more consistency. It wasn't great, but it seemed to work. You had offensive line that wasn't great in pass protection, but was better. That seemed to work. And then you had a quarterback that was, quite frankly, off for a good chunk of the game, DB. But when it came down to crunch time, he seemed to find a way. And look, it's understanding for Lewerke to be off. He's getting hit. He's getting hit hard. He's getting hit often, right? And so completely understandable. And so Michigan State reached deep into the D'Antonio trick bag. Fake field goals, fake punts, halfback options. Two of the three worked. I led to a touchdown. It looked like for a while those were going to be the only points Michigan State was going to score. They almost blew that, right? They tried to run the ball three straight times, once with a quarterback sneak. If you're wondering why Michigan State didn't try a quarterback sneak last week, well, maybe you got the answer. They're not very good at it. you've got that issue as well. And so they finally punched it in. The Penn State defense helping Michigan State out, getting some penalties. The Penn State offense helping Michigan State out, turning the ball over. Outside of two big explosive plays, the Penn State offense did not do much. Look, the Michigan State defense stood on its head. So all credit to the Michigan State defense. They stood on their head, and they won that game.
Yeah. I mean, Penn State gift-wrapped the game for Michigan State with the penalties. And, the Spartans got lucky in that regard. The Spartans played with a lot of discipline, I have to say. Most of those flags were, the majority of those flags, much to the chagrin of the 100,000-plus Penn State fans in attendance, were going towards their team. And I'm sure the officials got out of State College pretty quickly after the game. But Penn State deserved
Those. Let us address this Nittany Nation, Nittany Lion Nation, whatever you want to call yourselves, all right? The officials didn't call State the game, all right? There are two fumbles that could have been Michigan State ball that were not Michigan State ball, all right? Deal with it, all right? You want to say one was down by contact? Yeah, we'll give you the one down by contact. All right, then that's being gracious. The other one, fumble, not reviewed, should have been Michigan State ball. All right?
Yeah.
Deal with it. You want to know how many times Michigan State's been the second person in on a roughing play in retaliatory and called the penalty? It happened. Right? Deal with it. No. It just doesn't work that way. You want to complain about defensive holding? You want to know? We've got 3 years of tape to send your way. You're crying for us. No. By the way, I do hope the referee stopped by the creamery on the way out because, you know, Penn State ice cream is pretty good. Not as
they probably got an order to go real quick and send it the official
interview. Yeah. This just in. Penn State ice cream pretty good. You know, not as good as the Michigan State dairy. But still pretty good. So there's that aspect of it as well. Penn State fans, stop it.
Yeah. And Lurkey, yeah. So let's address Lurkey for a second. So it's a combination of things, and I just want to get your thoughts, but one thing that I noticed, He's locking in on receivers again. He's doing that thing that Kirk Cousins used to do that would drive everybody crazy. He's looking right at who he wants to throw at, and he got really lucky on that one play near the end in the Spartans' end of the field where they were moving the ball on that last drive, and he almost threw it right into the hands of the Penn State defender, which would have been a pick six and ended the game probably. But he's trying to do a lot. He's trying to do too much is my impression. What do you – Because of the injuries and everything else going on, is that what you think, or what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. My general sense is the following: one is he is uncomfortable in the pocket because he does not trust his offensive line to block for him, right? Which is leading to him to throwing the ball early, throwing the ball late, overthrows, all sorts of things, right? He's just fundamentally uncomfortable in the pocket. He is locking into receivers, not good. He got lucky. There were two or three balls that could have been picked. He's been forcing some stuff. Now, I think some of the stuff of him forcing is just him trusting his arm and trying to make a play. And he's like, all right, I'm going to trust my arm. I'm going to trust my wide receiver. I'm going to go out and make a play. And more than not, it was been his fault. He threw it on the wrong shoulder, threw it to the wrong spot. He did have some receivers run the wrong routes against Penn State. That certainly doesn't help. It would help if the tight ends caught the ball, especially when it hits them in the hand. Did you notice that when the tight ends caught the ball, the Michigan State offense moved, and when they didn't, the offense bogged down? I'm just throwing that one out there. Just Lewerke is uncomfortable. It shows. Yes, he is trying to do too much. Yes, Lewerke needs to carry this Michigan State offense, and that's the bottom line. And so this offense is going to sink or swim with Lewerke. And right now, it's been treading water. If he has a breakout game, Michigan State's going to score a ton of points. And if he struggles, Michigan State's going to struggle to put up points. This offensive line isn't going to get significantly better. I mean, it got marginally better, and as a result, was able to run the ball a little bit with some consistency, and got it done. This is, I mean, the offense is what it is. And let me tell you what, I know Michigan State fans do not like Dave Warner, and they are unhappy with Dave Warner, and they want Dave Warner gone. I sympathize with your anger. This offense isn't going to get any better with any coordinator in place. It just isn't, DB. It's better play calling might get you 3 to 4 more points a game, and I'm not even sure it can do that because this offense is fundamentally flawed, and there at this point there's just nothing you can do about it.
Right.
And that's a big problem.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the injury situation, there's nothing. There's you know, and look, people are so emotional, right? I mean, last week you had Detroit, news and free press, you know, everyone was ganging up on Antonio. Antonio's got to change. Antonio's got to, you know, do this, and he's got to fire Warner, and they'll never learn, and it's more seasons like 2016 coming, and then all of a sudden they pull that one out and temporarily save their season. And look, this team's not going to go to the Rose Bowl. It's not going to go to the national championship. It's not going to win the Big Ten title. That was a great win for the Spartans, and it could lead them to a bowl game now. Will it be more? I don't know. That would be unbelievable if it's more. But let's not get our hopes too high here. But
I think you're onto something, DB.
Yeah.
This will help get them to a bowl game. That's all this win does. Look, it is a big win. We should be proud of this Michigan State team for pulling it off. We should be thrilled as fans. I don't know whether we should be burning couches thrilled. I thought we had a lockdown on the burning couches. I mean, this is like a 90s throwback. Come on, Cedar Village. Get your own celebration. Why do you have to steal our stuff? I mean, don't you have any? This is a problem with millennials. They can't come up with their own stuff. But it's just, this is a win.
Right.
That's it. And it's a big win, and we should be happy about it. And it puts us in a much better mood going into Michigan weekend than we would otherwise be. But it's a good win. And Antonio did change some stuff up, and the Michigan State offense did change some stuff up, and the stuff they changed up helped.
My hunch is, you know, I mean, D'Antonio, he's been around the block. He knows what's going on. And what I was impressed with mostly was hearing that right after the Northwestern loss the week before, when the coaches gathered to look, to sort of recap what happened. And, of course, you know, it's abysmal, you know, after Northwestern. He comes in the room and he just takes the pulse of the coaches and says, everybody okay here? And I think he just loosened up the room, basically, you know, particularly the offensive staff, and said, look, let's just keep it simple. And I have a strong feeling that not only by doing that, but then also just he probably rolled up his sleeve and sat with the offense a little bit more this week and said, let's just simplify this baby. Let's just, you know, game plan it around what we got here, what we can do. And that one little move with the zone blocking might be the key just to, you know, buy Michigan State some yards. I mean, Michigan State was actually, for the first time this season, it felt like, able to work some clock with their running game.
Yeah, they were able to keep the Penn State offense off the field. It wasn't pretty, but they were able to do it. And that was effective. Well, it's amazing what a first down run of 4 or 5 yards can do to change the way your offense works, right? It's just that simple. Darius Jefferson had a good game. Connor Hayward had a reasonably good game. And so there was a little more running room. They almost blew that red zone possession. They still struggle in short yards. In fact, this is a Michigan State team that would probably rather be in 3rd and 5 than 3rd and 1. As weird and as strange as that seems, that's probably their preferred down and distance. Cousins made it. Threw it away in an option play, and everyone was like, well, begging for the option. Well, you don't want to run it like that. But the thing is, be careful what you wish for, people. You want Lewerke to run it in every play. Well, he's going to get beat up more than he already is. Right? You want Ladarius Jefferson to run it every play? Well, Ladarius Jefferson can't run it every play. That's not the way this works. You've got to split the carries. Otherwise, you're going to kill the players. And I know some of this is just generally frustration, and the frustration just releasing itself in like totally illogical ways, but let's slow a roll, everyone. And you want to know what else we have to slow a roll? Don't jingle your keys every time there's an important play, especially if we are in a bar. Just stop it. What on earth do you think you're doing when you're jingling keys?
People are jingling keys in a sports bar?
Yes.
Really?
It's bad enough that people do it in person at the game. Yeah, we know it's a key play. It doesn't change anything, people. Don't jingle your keys in sports bars. Just stop it.
Crazy. All right, so I'm gonna pivot us forward here into the Michigan game with a question for you. What are the odds that the Spartans go William the Refrigerator Perry on Michigan to get down to the goal line and the big fella comes in to try to mow him down at the goal line?
No.
Talking about Mr.
Just
Williams.
Throw the ball in. Just throw the ball in.
I'll tell you what, if he's coming at me with the ball, they have a good chance for success on a goal line stand there.
Yeah, just throw the ball in the end.
I'd love to check him in just to do that, see what would happen. I wouldn't be surprised, given the depth issues. You know what else was happening? I'll jump back again. We were seeing the appearance of the tight end a little bit for the Spartans this weekend, so hopefully that could continue somehow.
When you don't have any wide receivers to throw to, you have to throw to the tight end. right? I mean, that's the basic thing. But here's the thing with the tight ends. When the tight ends get thrown the ball, they got to catch it. Dropping the ball doesn't do you any good.
And yeah, that was a little bit of a problem too.
Yes, and Michigan State coaching staff, I know we were down bodies, but you can't throw in a receiver who's got a club for one hand. He can't catch the ball. Of course it's going to go off his bandaged hands, pop in the air, and get intercepted. What were you saying?
Yeah, that guy shouldn't be in the game, or he should just be a decoy, because that's not going to work.
Not going to work. Just not going to work. It's just like, come on, people. In terms of the Michigan game, spinning it forward, look, Michigan's defense is outstanding. It is probably the only defense. Well, all right, so Michigan, Michigan State, and Ohio State have the top three defenses in the conference. Can we agree on that?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. So this is going to be one of the three best defenses Michigan State plays. We are not going to score a lot of points in this game. That's not to say that we're going to score no points. We are just not going to score a lot of points. We are not built to score a lot of points this year. In fact, last year, we didn't score that many points either. We were hoping for a significant improvement. The significant improvement is not happening, which means we have to win games holding the other team to 17 points or fewer. That's sort of where we're at right now. And even that's not a guarantee, right? If we hold the team to 17 points, we are not guaranteed a victory. That's just where we're at right now. We've got to hold teams to 17 points or fewer. This is a big ask against an outstanding defense, and not a good offense, a competent offense, right? The University of Michigan offense has moved from incompetent to competent. And with their defense, that really should be enough. And so is our defense going to be good? Yes. Our run defense is outstanding. And then it really comes down to what Michigan's going to do in the passing game. Penn State did not do what – I mean, look, it's really weird. To a certain degree, football games can be a little bit like basketball games. Some basketball games are just a bad matchup for you, right? In this case, Penn State's offense played into the strengths of our defense. They wanted to run the ball inside, and they wanted to throw the ball outside. Well, you want to know what? That's what Michigan State defends really well. You want to know what Michigan State doesn't defend really well? They don't defend running backs that catch the ball. They don't defend short to intermediate routes. For reasons unbeknownst to us, Penn State just refused to run that outside of the first quarter. In the first quarter, they ran it a lot, and they moved the ball. And after that, they stopped running it, but it's not the strength of the Penn State offense. It's not really the strength of the Michigan offense either. You know, Michigan wants to push the ball down the field on the outside, and they want to run the ball. So, I mean, we should be grateful for small favors on that standpoint. So the Michigan State defense has it's a better matchup than Northwestern or Indiana or Maryland or that standpoint. By the way, can we hurry up and play Rutgers? I mean, Rutgers, I mean, they're completing two passes a game. Can we just play Rutgers right now?
Are you saying that'll be the fifth win of the season, and then we're looking for the sixth one at least?
Yeah. Now, Rutgers just in, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, right now, this is what I'm hoping for on Saturday.
Oh yeah, not lip syncing. Hey, play the breaking news thing, because I have some information about that.
Awesome.
Your forecast on Saturday in East Lansing: 48 degrees with showers.
Ooh. Cold, big cold trees always gets his man. I'm not kidding.
There you go. You know, the University of Michigan doesn't like that rain very much.
No, they don't. They don't like the rain at all. And
they got to play a noon game because they don't like to play later, so they whine about that. So they got their noon game, but I don't think they'll be able to control Mother Nature.
No. As all powerful and all knowing as Jim Harbaugh is, even he can't do that. The more rain, the better, DB. The more we can turn the Michigan offense into a one-dimensional defense, where we're saying, all right. Our strength is stopping the run. It's raining. You got to run the ball. That's pretty much all we can ask for. Now, there's a slight problem. We can't really run the ball. But
you know, if they're going three and out, then we're going three and out. So maybe this game is decided on kicks.
There you go. And you got to like our field goal kicker. Not so much our punter. But you gotta like our field goal kicker.
The punter, got a lot of practice against Penn State, and I actually thought he did okay. Gant, is that his name?
Yeah, he did.
All right.
I don't know.
I mean, he's not Jake Hartberger, unfortunately.
No, definitely not Jake Hartberger. So yeah, this is what we're looking for. We're looking for a low scoring game. Keep the possessions low, chew some time off the clock, keep the defense fresh. You know, punts are okay. And let's see. Let's see whether we can win something. 13-10, 16-7, 16-10, somewhere in that. I mean, that's the type of game it has to be, right?
Yeah, it's just like last year, really. The final was 14-10. I think if the Spartans hold Michigan under 10, that's a strong recipe for a victory.
I agree.
But it's a big ask.
I mean, look.
That is a big ask.
It is a big ask. And I think I think as Michigan State fans, I think that's the key. He's going into this game knowing that asking Michigan State to win this game in the state that they are, in look, this is not a great football team, right? Just objectively, right? It's okay to say that Penn State was the better football team, right? I mean, look, you only have to beat them once in college football because you only play them once. But if, you know, they're playing the game 10 times, you know, Penn State probably wins 8 out of 10.
Right.
And we got fortunate, and we'll take it. And, look, Michigan's going to be the better football team. Michigan's going to be favored, and they should be favored. I have no idea what the line is, but I'm assuming that Michigan State's going to be a home dog in this game. And as very well they should be right now, because Michigan has more functional pieces on offense right now than Michigan State does. We don't have to like it, but that's the reality.
Right.
And so we got to go in and we got to be scrappy and we got to hope for the best. And that's pretty much all we can do. And stand up and cheer our team and hope for a sellout and, you know, hope the home crowd carries us. Hope we get some rain to even things out. And we will see what happens.
Indeed.
So now what is your prediction for the game, sir?
So I think, you know, given all the Spartans are going through, it's too much to ask for a win here. So I'm going to go with Michigan 23, Michigan State 13.
Yeah, I'm looking at like a 17-13 game Michigan as well. It just seems like too big an ask to do this 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
So I mean that's what we're looking for on that front. But on the other hand, now maybe Mark D'Antonio plays this in the pregame and everyone gets fired up.
What? Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no.
Germans? Forget it. He's rolling.
And it ain't over now. Cause when the going gets tough. The Tufts get going! Who's with me? Let's go! Come on!
There you go.
I'd pay money to see Mark D'Antonio actually recite that speech in front of the team. And run out the locker room going, like that. That'd be nice. Like that would just loosen up the team so much. They'd be laughing. It'd be like, wow, like what's gotten into coach today? You know, like let's just go out there and do this and have fun. You know, why don't you just go out there and have fun? You know, I mean, there's no expectations on them for this game. Yeah, they're at home. The fans are going to think or expect that they're going to win just because they're at home, but they're not. And so just go out there and enjoy it.
Yeah, go out there and go out there and have some fun. And, yeah, let's see whether we can beat Michigan.
Yeah, I mean, the pressure's on them. They're the ones that need to beat us really badly. I mean, Mark D'Antonio's won 9 out of the last 11, I believe, against Michigan.
8 of the last 10 for sure, maybe 9 out of the last 11.
Yeah, I'm trying to piece that together. I think he's coached against Michigan I think he's lost 3 times. In the first year that he was there, Lloyd Carr's last year, and then once to Brady Hoke, and then once to Jim Harbaugh, and ever to Rich Rod.
Yeah.
So there you go. Yeah.
There you go. And that first loss was the little brother game.
That was. That has set the tone for this rivalry for the last decade.
Yeah.
And I would dare say it is one of the most hateful rivalries in sports.
I would agree. I would agree. It is, and I think part of it is that the University of Michigan and their fans think it's their birthright to beat Michigan State.
Right.
And they haven't been doing it, and that's really bothering them.
Yeah, particularly in football.
This is not – This is not a rivalry built on mutual respect. This is a rivalry based on contempt. The University of Michigan has a lot of contempt for Michigan State, and Michigan State does not like that with good reason and is willing to dish it back out in spades.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, when I think about all the rivalries in pro and college sports, there's not that many that approach this level of, you know, hatred and, you know, just teams, fans that do not like each other. And these teams, you know, play for big stakes in a lot of their games, basically.
That is true. It's very big stakes. You cannot win your conference. You cannot get to the playoffs. You cannot get to the bowl game you want to without winning this game. Bottom line.
Right. Yep.
The stakes are high. And frequently the stakes are much higher in this game than any other game in the season.
There were
that contributes
lately
to it.
Where, you know, when Michigan was going through their stuff with the different coaches that they deny ever took place, that in their dystopian world that they live in, that they weren't holding up their end of the bargain. They had some pretty woeful teams. Even last year, that Michigan team last year was a very dreary 8-5 team. I mean, somehow they managed 8 wins. I'm not sure how they did that, but
But as we've learned, you know, last year counts, and we know last year counts because according to Michigan fans, the only season that counts are the Harbaugh season.
By the way, there's a rumor that James Franklin wants to take Michigan State off the schedule.
Yeah, well, he kind of wants to take Michigan State, Michigan, and Ohio State off the schedule. What, he's 3-11 against those schools?
Yeah, I think he's lobbying to go over on Wisconsin side for a while.
I think right now he's lobbying full time to be moved to the Big Ten West against teams that Penn State can actually beat.
The West is turning into a little bit of an open thing over there now, because Wisconsin doesn't look themselves now, and so even though they beat Iowa early on, I'm starting to see that I wonder about Iowa if they have a legitimate chance or Northwestern has a chance to do something over at that side.
I think you're right. I think Iowa and Northwestern have reasonable chances right now. Northwestern just keeps escaping by the skin of their teeth. They're absolute high wire artists. Iowa seems a bit more solid and grounded on that front, and so you got to be happy with that. I mean, if you're the Hawkeyes, you have to be happy with that. Wisconsin just looks fundamentally unimpressive, right? If they're not able to run the ball, they got no plan B. They've got no plan C, and they got no plan D, especially if they're getting beat up front. Look, there aren't many teams that can beat them up front, to be fair. Michigan was able to dominate them up front, so that gives you an idea how good that Michigan State that Michigan defense is.
Yeah.
I'm sure Ohio State can beat them up front, and I'm sure Michigan State can hold its own up front. That's it for the Big Ten. So as vulnerable as Wisconsin looks, I'm not sure any of the other teams in the Big Ten West can do the damage necessary to stop them. But it is a competitive division. I think that's fine. I think it's going to be interesting. It's a 3-horse race. I still kind of like Wisconsin. I think Northwestern is just too inconsistent, and maybe Iowa. I think it's probably Iowa and Wisconsin more than Northwestern, but Northwestern could definitely play spoiler.
Yeah, there's a couple interesting games coming up for their division. I mean, I think Wisconsin has to go to Evanston and play Northwestern, and I believe Iowa gets a road gets to go to Penn State. Wisconsin still has to go to Penn State. But I think
Nebraska's going to win one of these games too. I just hope it's not against us.
Oh God, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know who's on their schedule left, but somewhere they probably have to play maybe Purdue or Illinois. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not totally sure. Maybe they don't get any wins this year. Because Purdue and Illinois are somewhat more improved than them. You got to start somewhere, I guess. So Scott Frost is getting an introduction into the Big Ten. I think, Iowa, wasn't it just last year that Iowa rang up about almost 60 points on Ohio State in that game in Iowa City? I think it was the same day the Spartans beat Penn State after that five-hour rain delay.
Yeah, that was a weird day. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that today. Iowa pounded Ohio State. I mean, it wasn't just some sneaky win. They destroyed Ohio State that day. And then I think Ohio State destroyed us the following week, which was,
let's not have a repeat of that.
Indeed.
All right. Any other final thoughts before we wrap this puppy up?
I think that's it.
All right. That was, that was a good quickie pod. Had to celebrate the Happy Valley Miracle. Got to go beat Michigan. That's the next step. We'll get our poker chips and we'll slam them down at whatever establishment we happen to be watching the game at. Unfortunate timing situation for Satchmo. Satchmo will be at a conference during the Michigan State Michigan game. Oh, yeah. Do not be surprised. That is just awful. It's just, it just bothers me. Anyway, that's what YouTube TV is for. The game will be recorded and watched in due time.
Yeah.
So the game will be recorded and watched in due time, and we will break it all down next week. So yeah, we will get that going, schedule permitting. But all right, sounds good. No fight song to play us out because I haven't quite finished uploading all of the old things. So let's see. We'll go with the new theme music. It's only 6 seconds worth, but at least it will play us out. And until we meet again, until we talk about Michigan State beating Michigan, bye bye.
Bye-bye.